The children are dismissed now to go to their classes. You can head to the back. Thank you, Lauren. I did hear that. Find the sign in your teacher, and we'll let you go back to your Sunday school classes. For those of you who have been a part of Kingsway for a long time, the names of Herman and Judy Bowman have a significant image impressed in your mind. And they were people, Herman, I always remember him as just his deep, deep joy in the Lord and how that joy spread to the people he was greeting on Sunday mornings and how he served abundantly just in his gifts and abilities. He loved to serve other people. And we need somebody to be the Herman Bowman and the Judy Bowman of this next generation. Herman passed away a couple of years ago, and Judy passed away. Thank you, Michael, for guiding our congregation in that time of remembrance. We've been studying the first chapter in the book of Mark, and we've been looking at Mark as an introduction to the life and ministry of Jesus, that as Jesus began his ministry, we're looking at some things. Okay, how would this new season in Kingsway's history and in our ministry, what are some things that Jesus did that we should do? And we looked at God preparing the way, sending somebody who would be running ahead of Jesus, John the Baptist, to prepare the way for Jesus to come. We saw Jesus surrendering himself completely by being baptized and facing temptation just like we face and becoming through those things victorious. And then over the last few weeks, we've looked at Jesus as he started his ministry, as he announced that there is a way for us to be able to have a way back to the Father, that our sins can be forgiven, that we are not bound in separation, that our sins have separated us from God, but that God has provided a way for us to repent of our sins and believe this good news of the gospel that God has prepared for us. And Jesus, ultimately, knowing as he's making that announcement, repent and believe the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, Jesus knows at the end of his life, he is going to lay the sacrifice for that. He's going to pay the punishment on the cross, take the weight of our sin on him. Now, I know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you understand this whole concept of our sin has separated us from God, and we, by our own choice of willful sin, have chosen to walk away from God. And because of that, we are doomed to perish. We are choosing an eternity separated from God. But God, in his great mercy, does not want that to be the defining moment in our life. So Kingsway Christian Church is all about sharing the hope that Jesus offers to us, that our sins can be atoned for. Your sins, no matter what your sins have been, nothing can separate you from God. And it's this blood of Jesus on the cross of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away every one of your sins. And we used to sing the old song, "What can wash away my sins?" What? Say it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's right. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We are convinced that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And as much as the world around us thinks that maybe God is a God who loves to punish people when they do wrong, that he gets his pleasure out of paying us back for the things we do wrong or catching us on every little mistake that we make, that's not the God that's described in the Bible. The God that's described in the Bible loves us so much that he would send his own son who would die in our place, take the punishment for our sin so that we could have the blessing that we don't deserve, that we could have the blessing of eternal life with him in heaven. And that was beautifully pictured for us in the very first song or second song that we sang about the angels in heaven singing holy, 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 and we get to add our voice when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Today I want us to look at Jesus in his ministry and how he lived out his pattern for blessing other people. And I believe every time we come together to read God's word and to study God's word, you ought to anticipate that the Holy Spirit's going to say something special or unique to you. Something is going to resonate in your heart that the Holy Spirit wants you to grab hold of and say, okay, how do I respond to that? And so today I just want to begin with a word of prayer that as we start through this message, that you will anticipate at the end there's something that God's going to call you to, and that you'll be ready to say yes and to follow him as he invites you into this new thing he's wanting to do in our church and in your own life. Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful that we get to come and we openly on this street corner, we get to gather and be able to sing songs of praise and then humbly give our full attention to your word. So I thank you for this inspired word. I thank you for Mark, the author, recording these events in Jesus' life. And that today, Father, we get to read them. And Jesus gets to come alive again for us today. So I pray for each person in this room, God. I don't know all of the situations that they're facing. I don't know the challenges that they're facing. I don't know their fears, their anxieties. But you know them. And in this message today, you want to speak into them your words of life and blessing. So would you give us ears that are eager to hear your voice? And give us a heart that's ready to put into practice what you teach us. May you empower your word today. And would you help me as the messenger not speak of my own accord, but speak according to your power and word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Last week we talked about what it would be like if Jesus was present in our church services, and he is. And we talked about this surprise, this amazement that ought to happen every time we come together, that Jesus will teach us something that applies to our life, that has a real life context. And we would be amazed at Jesus' authority and his teaching, speaking truth into our lives. And then we'd also see Jesus' authority over evil, confronting our sin and bringing us to a place where we're free from the bondage of sin. Today we're going to look at Jesus, what if Jesus came to your home to live? What if you invited him to lunch today and he stayed for the week? Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, somebody's happy about that. He might help with your moving process. That's right. So I want you to think, what would it be like for Jesus to come to your home? Because we're going to read a passage of Scripture where Jesus comes to a home and he brings blessing into that home when he comes to enter it. So turn in your Bibles, Mark chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So I want to look at a couple of things here as you look at that passage of Scripture. I just want you to note a couple of things. When Jesus, just a few verses before this, invited Peter and Andrew, or Simon, Peter and Andrew, and James and John to follow him, we at least know that Peter is married. So if you are a woman and you're thinking, what would this look like for my husband to say, hey, I want to hang out with this traveling preacher? Now, we don't know if he has kids. We don't know how old or young Simon Peter and his wife are. But I want you to think as the wife, your what? Now, Simon had been following John the Baptist down in the Judean Jordan River Valley. And at some point, Peter had gone back to his hometown, Capernaum, and stepped stepped into his dad's business again of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. So I imagine, I'm just imagining that possibly she's a little frustrated that he's going to go on another journey with this preacher. I don't know. But I understand that sometimes people, when they say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ with everything I've got, I want to be a follower of Jesus, there can be, if one spouse is making that decision, the other spouse is not quite sure about that decision yet, there is sometimes anxiety, isn't there, on the person who's not sure they want to follow Jesus? Because what's going to happen? What's Jesus going to do when he comes into this person's life? Are they going to be a different spouse to me? Are they going to ignore me? Are they going to not pay attention to my needs? There's all kinds of fear that happens when somebody you know makes a decision to say, I want to follow Jesus with everything in my life. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and your spouse or your fiancé is making that decision, you feel great. But if you're not a believer, you're not sure whether Jesus can be trusted, it's very possible that Simon's wife is a little frustrated that Peter has brought him now into their home. Peter's made a decision to follow Jesus. And I don't know if he's told his wife yet, but she at least is getting a glimpse that this guy that John had been talking about now is here. How do I treat him in my home? What's he going to do in my home? Now, the second thing I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture is that as Jesus comes into a home, there's already present trouble or hardship that's in that home. And it's interesting to me that as Jesus comes into the home, Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and the other people in the home, we don't know if it's the disciples who know Simon's situation and know the family, somebody tells Jesus about her situation. Now, many of Jesus' miracles are pretty dramatic. Sometimes for a blind man, he'll spit on the ground and take some of the mud and put it on the person's eyes and heal them. Sometimes he would touch a person. Sometimes he would tell them, get up and walk, or things like that. We saw when he confronted Satan that Jesus spoke with strong authority. In this situation, Jesus seems to be very tender. The Bible just says he took her by the hand and he lifted her up, and in that process, the fever left her. Now, again, I want you to go back to Simon's wife. What would you notice about this man in that situation? What would you notice about Jesus in this situation? Wouldn't you notice his mercy, his tenderness, his compassion for brokenness that's happened, sickness and pain? Let me make a transition to our current reality. It's one thing to come to church, and we all look pretty nice. We dressed up well. We fixed our hair. We're on best behavior here at church. But the reality is when you go home, there may be some sickness there. And even people who follow God and love God, there may be some brokenness in our homes. And you come to church, and we sometimes try to hide that brokenness. We don't even want anybody else to talk about maybe the fear or the anxiety that we have or the trouble that's happening. And our thought is that if Jesus knew about that stuff, he would be all over our back. How can you let this take place? Why is this happening in your home? Do you see that represented here in this picture of Jesus? Do you see Jesus' compassion and mercy in to us? And he's demonstrated that when Jesus comes into a home, he brings blessing to that home. He brings his favor. Now, the word blessing means to make happy or to make complete, to make satisfied, to make right. To bless something means to make it the way it was supposed to be. And we have two realities that are going on in our world and in your world right now, probably. One reality is that God created you to be in relationship with him, and he created you to long for the perfection that heaven is going to be. Even if you are not a believer in Jesus, even if you've never desired to follow Jesus, inside of you is this longing for what's right and what's good. And though you may have messed up in your life, you know when somebody's not fair with you, there's this longing for things to be made right. Now, in that reality of a longing for righteousness, that's that blessing when everything would be made whole and everything would be made right. That's going to happen in heaven, but there's the longing for it right now. And along with that stream is the second stream, which is this stream that we live in a world that's broken. And there's not easy answers for why some things happen. Perry and Jill are wondering why their baby is being forced to come early. And how's their baby going to handle? How's Dixie Joe going to be able to handle the stress that's happening to Jill's body? They've been praying for the health of their baby. They've been praying for the baby to be able to go full term. And we live in a world where brokenness, sickness, trouble happens. And here's the word that I want to say to you. When Jesus comes into your home, he brings blessing to your home. He brings blessing, right, wholeness. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's perfect. But I can just bet today that some of you, in some of the areas of your life where you say, this part is broken. And sometimes we said, I can't let Jesus come in here because he'd be disgusted with this area. But I want to tell you, the only way you're going to find wholeness come back in is if you invite Jesus into that area. Just like Peter invited Jesus to come into his house. Today, there's some area in your life, and I want to focus on your home. There's some area where brokenness exists. And if you invite Jesus into that arena, he will bring blessing to your home. I want to look at a couple things that you can do. Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Now, this is a common passage of Scripture. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I want to ask you to circle the word all there. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Because today, in some area of your life, there's an area where you haven't acknowledged Jesus' presence. You haven't invited him in. You haven't said, Jesus, you're Lord over this situation. It's broken. I don't know why this is happening in my life, but I need to ask you to come in and help in this area. And for too long, you've restricted your faith. You restricted Jesus from that. Or maybe you've been praying for it and you haven't seen the blessing come yet. And so in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your paths straight. Because Jesus, if you invite him into your home, will come in and bring blessing to your home. There's another passage of Scripture which acknowledges the choice that you and I have to make. It's Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua is talking to the people of Israel after they've conquered the land of Canaan, the promised land, and he's given a final speech challenging them to let Jesus be, or let God be the authority in their life. And he says to them, and if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, honestly, there are some people who choose that. They feel like serving the Lord's going to be hardship, that God's going to bring pain into their life. So Joshua says, if serving the Lord seems evil in your eyes, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the God your fathers served back in the region beyond the river in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if you've made that commitment, like Solomon says in Proverbs, that in all your ways you're an acknowledge the Lord, then I'd like you to say that last sentence together with me. That your commitment, your desire, your choice in your home is to let Jesus be there so he can bring his blessing into your home. And if that's the case, let's make this statement together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want you to say that again. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And even though the rest of my neighbors don't do this, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And even when trouble comes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And even when times of prosperity happen, and I start to trust in myself, I've made a decision, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to challenge you, if you have not made that decision, I want to ask you, would you honestly let me walk alongside you as you ask the questions, is it worth it in my life to make this decision to say, I want to invite Jesus into my life and into my home because I believe he'll bring blessing to me. I believe he'll bring wholeness to my life. The areas where I'm broken, God's going to restore and bring his peace. And he'll do it with mercy. He'll do it with grace. Sometimes he'll do it with high authority. But you need the blessing. If you've never made that decision, I'd love to talk with you about what does it look like to let Jesus Christ be Lord of your life. Because when Jesus comes in, he will bring blessing to your home. Now, I want you to look at the next verses in Mark chapter 1. That evening at sundown, so they're still in Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law has gotten better. The fever's gone. She's been serving. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Okay, I want you to go back and I want you to think Peter's wife again. It's one thing now that Jesus is okay, is in the house, and she's seen, okay, he brings blessing. But now the sun is down, so the Sabbath day is over. In the Jewish system, days began at sundown. Not at sunrise for us, or in the middle of the night for us. Days began at sundown. So in the Garden of Eden, God announced that evening and morning were the first day or the second day. So the day starts at sundown. So the Sabbath day comes to an end as the sun sets, and the new day, Sunday, the first day of the week, starts at sundown. And on this sundown experience, all of a sudden, there's knocks on Simon's door, and there's the whole city is bringing sick people to Jesus. Now, if you're given to hospitality, that might frighten you that all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of extra guests at the house. If you're given to hospitality, it might excite you because, hey, more people means more fun. But all of a sudden, I'm thinking Simon Peter's wife is concerned again. What's Jesus doing now? Because the challenge is, not only has he brought blessing to my home, but it's actually God's plan, Jesus' plan, that blessings would flow through your home. that when your home is now a residence, a place where God's blessing is overflowing, God wants your home to be able to be a blessing to other people around it. Now, okay, I acknowledge this is a little bit of a challenge. Because many times we think, well, our church ought to be that blessing. Our church ought to be the place where people go to be able to get their problems solved and find freedom. But you know what I'm seeing in Scripture is that Jesus, when he left church, he went home and he allowed the church, the home, to start to become a little church. And through that little home, placed in a neighborhood, he wanted that home, church, to be able to be a blessing to people around it. Now, I know you picked the house that you're living in, but I think God picked it for you. And God has placed you in a neighborhood that if you let Jesus come into your home, it's going to have an impact on your neighborhood. And your home is going to start to have blessing. The goodness of Jesus is going to start to flow through. And if you've got little kids in your house, it might be that sometimes all the kids in the neighborhood come to your house because they, for something's different about your house. And maybe it's the way that you've trained your kids, or maybe it's the way you talk to your kids, or maybe it's the things you do to cause your kids to learn lessons about life and following Jesus. But your home is starting to become a lighthouse, a blessing to the people in your neighborhood. And blessing is not just in your home, it's leaking out of your home. It's coming through your home to other people. So here's what I want to ask you today. Is it possible that you've made a decision to, I want the blessing of Jesus in my home, but you've missed that his desire is not just to bless to your home, but he wants to bless through your home. And here's what I want you to think. I want to think, who has God placed around me where there's brokenness, sin's curse is present in somebody's life? And God, if there's any way, can I be a blessing? Can my home be a blessing to them? Now, sometimes that might mean inviting somebody into your house for a meal and sharing a meal with them and just coming alongside them. Sometimes it means you going out of your home to their house to take a meal to them. Carolyn and I were this week saying goodbye to her dad. And this week, we were overwhelmed with blessings from many of you here in this church and others around who sent cards to lift us up, give us words that God had placed on your heart that touched our hearts. Some of you brought meals over to our house, and your house became a blessing to our house in our need. Now, what if there's a person who's far from God, and their image of Christianity is that Christians are judgmental, that they always avoid people who aren't like them, that they're always pointing out people's errors and sins and failures? And what if when you've experienced that God isn't that way with you, his mercy has touched your life, what if all of a sudden you start being a Jesus like that to other people and his blessing starts to flow through you? I don't know when my father-in-law made the decision. He was a coin dealer. He had had a hobby of buying coins and then selling them for a little bit of a profit margin. And he, at one point in his life, was able to sell his other business and start doing this full-time. And he was known all over the world. From this little town of Wymore, Nebraska, he was the penny merchant. Verge Marshall III, the penny merchant. And people all over in coin world knew him. And he was a strong believer in God. He had a room in his house and a room in his building where he called it the powerhouse room. It was the place where he prayed every day, prayed for his family, prayed for his business, prayed for people in his church. I don't know when it happened, but at some point he decided he was going to take his faith public. And in his traveling for coin shows, he decided when he had to be gone on a weekend, sometimes 20 weekends a year that he was gone to the coin shows on a Sunday and wasn't able to be his home church, he decided he was going to start a church at every conference he went to. And they were going to have a Bible study and communion and a sermon and sing songs. And they'd invite anybody who wanted to stand with them and have a worship service at their coin convention. He did that for 30 years because he knew what God had blessed him with needed to be shared with other people. So here's what I want to ask today. Jesus wants you to invite him into your home. And whatever brokenness is there, his mercy and grace is going to bring wholeness and blessing to your home. And today, I just want you to think, write down on a sheet of paper, God, where do I need you to come into my home and bring healing? I'm going to let you into this area that's been kind of hard for us. I've been ashamed of this, but I'm going to ask you to come in and bring healing here. And some of you today, where God's calling you, is there's an area in your life where you've not let Jesus come in to let his wholeness heal you. I want to ask you to take a step. Repent of this barrier that you've created, this fear that you've had that he's going to somehow mess up your life or shame you for what has happened in that area. And today, I want you, by a step of faith, I want you to say, Jesus, I believe your intention, if I let you in, your intention is to bless me, to make me better, to heal this wound. And Satan keeps trying to say it's going to, no, this is what defines you. This is who you've been. This is who you are. This is who you're always going to be. And Jesus wants to come in and say, no, I'm recrafting you. I'm going to remake you. And I don't know who you are, but somebody here needs to say, Jesus, I'm going to let you into that area because I need you to come and bring your blessing. Some of you, it's a gentle kick in the pants to say, it's time for you to take your faith public. And the blessings that you've received, you need to start opening up so that the people around you, because through your home, and I'm not saying your church, I'm saying through your home, God wants blessing to flow to the people in your neighborhood. Now, we could say the same thing about your workplace, but today I just want to say, I want God to be invited into your place where you'd say, I want the blessings to flow out of my home. And today, as we come into a time of prayer before we wrap up the service, I want you to pray, God, would you give me a name or a house that blessing's supposed to flow from my house to their house? And you may not know everything, but you just, there's the Holy Spirit's going to give you an inkling that this house needs you to start building a relationship with them. And I want you to ask, God, show me where I could bless somebody. Show me who you want me to bless. Let's pray real quickly as you kind of think through that. And then I'm going to, after the prayer, I'm going to ask the people, the worship team to come up. And I'm going to give you five habits that I'd like you to start real quickly so you can live life to bless other people. Father God, I am thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for the image of his mercy and kindness. And though he has incredible authority, could demand things, when he comes into our homes, he's so tender and gracious to bring wholeness back into our lives. And then to allow that wholeness, the reputation of that wholeness, to be able to spread and bring wholeness and healing so that other people could be able to find the blessing of Jesus as well. So, Father, I'm just praying for the homes that are represented in this room. And I'm thinking about the homes that are around these homes. And God, would you make it clear to us how you want us to be a blessing so that our homes could be a lighthouse in our community and a river of life could flow through our homes in Jesus' name to people who desperately need to know the peace and healing of Jesus Christ. So move by your Holy Spirit. Give us names, give us homes, and give us ways to be able to help them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to write on your piece of paper. The worship team would come up here. I want you to write on your piece of paper the word bless, and I want you to write it down from the top to the bottom, B-L-E-S-S. And here's five habits that I want to encourage you to start forming in your life. The first one is begin every day with prayer, and here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, would you give me one person to bless today? So I want you to begin every day with this prayer. God, give me one person that I could bless or be a blessing to today. Then L is listen to God. Listen to God and then listen to the stories of other people around you and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to say, oh, this is the person. This is the person I should bless today. So listen to the Lord and listen to the stories around you and you'll find a person that you could be able to come alongside and be a blessing to, okay? Here's a third habit. E is eat. That's it. Can you do that? Eat. So the third one is eat, but I want you to eat intentionally. I mean, you already do that. You kind of pick the place you're going to eat. But I want you to eat intentionally about relationships. And I want you to eat with three other people each week. Intentionally, whether it's at work or in your neighborhood or you get together with somebody for breakfast, I want you to intentionally eat with three different people outside your normal home environment. And when you eat with them, I want you to listen to their story. And then the first S is I want you to share your story of faith. In a very simple, doesn't have to be a 30-minute presentation, just say, I'm so blessed in my relationship with God. Just this last week, I'm just realizing, and you just talk about a blessing or what your relationship with God is experiencing. Share your story. And then the last S is, after you're done with your meal, find some way that you could follow up with some service to that person. Serve them. If they told you about a need, maybe it's you write a card to encourage them, or maybe you take a meal over to them, or find some way to serve them. And each week, I would imagine we could come together here and we'd say, how did your blessing go this week? Who was somebody that God showed you the blessing to? What did you do? How did God do that? Now, this isn't bragging time. This is just saying, hey, we're celebrating what God made us to do. He made us to bless through our home to other people who desperately need to know Jesus. And my bet is, as you bless others like Jesus, God will start drawing people to himself, and you'll start noticing some of these people that you've blessed want to know more about your faith in Jesus. That's when you invite them into your small group or invite them over for a meal, invite them to your church. Because God's chosen, the pattern of Jesus is to bless your home and to bless others through your home. Let's stand together and sing. If you have a decision you want to make,